Chapter 20, Disclosure. I do believe a formal, open disclosure of the ET-UFO phenomenon is an essential aspect of our movement into a golden age. I have tried to avoid relying on UFO-related accounts in this book, but I do feel there is undeniable evidence that we were visited by human-looking extraterrestrials in ancient times, and that these visits have continued through to this very day. No discussion of the source field is complete without an examination of UFOs and their influence on technology, ancient peoples, and the 2012 prophecies. In 2009, Dr. Alan Boss of the Carnegie Institution of Science speculated that there could be 100 billion Earth-like planets in our Milky Way galaxy alone. This estimate is based on the widespread prevalence of extrasolar planets that have been discovered, leading him to assume there could be an average of one Earth-like planet per star. He also believed they are probably inhabited, at least by microbial life forms. During this same time frame, scientists from the University at Edinburgh ran a computer simulation where they constructed a synthetic galaxy with billions of stars and planets. From this data, which included extinction events, they concluded that at least 361 intelligent civilizations have emerged in the Milky Way since its creation, and as many as 38,000 may have formed. In December 2009, Discover magazine published a controversial study of a series of archaeological findings that began in the autumn of 1913 in a South African town called Boskop. Two farmers dug up hominid skull fragments that seemed unusual. Eventually, S.H. Houghton, a formerly trained paleontologist, concluded that the Boskop skull contained a brain that was potentially 25% larger than our own, or more. Boskop has a face that takes up only about one-fifth of his cranium size, closer to the proportions of a child. Examination of individual bones confirmed that the nose, cheeks, and jaw were all childlike. Boskop's brain size is about 30% larger than our own. That is, a 1,750 cubic centimeter brain to our average of 1,350 cubic centimeters. And that leads to an increase in the prefrontal cortex of a staggering 53%. The prefrontal cortex is where we process our highest cognitive functions, and it is suspected, our intuition. With their perhaps astonishing insights, they may have become a species of dreamers with an internal mental life literally beyond anything we can imagine. In a classroom with 35 big-headed, baby-faced Boskop kids, you would likely encounter five or six with IQ scores at the upper range of what has ever been recorded in human history. They died, and we lived, and we can't answer the question why. Why didn't they outthink the smaller-brained hominids like ourselves and spread across the planet? Perhaps they didn't want to. Nonetheless, anthropologists report that Boskop features still occasionally pop up in living populations of Bushmen, raising the possibility that the last of the race may have walked the dusty Transvaal in the not-too-distant past. It's one thing to dismiss people as crazy if they think they've encountered beings like this in a spaceship. It's quite another when we find archaeological evidence that people like this lived and died here, and Discover magazine took it seriously enough to publish the article. Were the Boskops dangerous villains? Just the opposite, according to those they lived with. Just about 100 miles from the original Boskop discovery site, further excavations were once carried out by Frederick Fitzsimons. He knew what he had discovered, and was eagerly seeking more of these skulls. At his new dig site, Fitzsimons came across a remarkable piece of construction. The site had been, at one time, a communal living center, perhaps tens of thousands of years ago. There were many collected rocks, leftover bones, and some casually interred skeletons of normal-looking humans. But to one side of the site, in a clearing, was a single, carefully constructed tomb, built for a single occupant, perhaps the tomb of a leader or of a revered wise man. His remains had been positioned to face the rising sun. In repose, he appeared unremarkable in every regard, except for a giant skull. Dr. Stephen Greer has worked tirelessly to gather together more than 560 witnesses who directly worked in classified programs where UFOs and ETs were dealt with directly. Disclosure is the term Greer and others use to describe a hypothetical moment in which the governments around the world openly reveal their secret archives of UFO knowledge, including any retrieved technology, or may even give us a direct introduction to ETs themselves. We are getting closer and closer to achieving real transparency, and governments have been increasingly sharing their formerly classified materials about these encounters. They kept them hidden for years because they apparently feared it would trigger a worldwide epidemic of terror. But with the coming of the Golden Age, I believe the public response will be one of awe and acceptance, not chaos and panic. All we need is a congressional subpoena. Dr. Greer's witnesses are prepared to testify to exactly what they know in open public hearings in Congress. I was fortunate enough to attend Greer's closed executive summary briefing for members of Congress and VIPs that took place on May 10, 2001, and the mood in the room was electric. The witness who stood out the most was Sergeant Clifford Stone, who allegedly worked on crash retrieval projects. He was so traumatized by the things he had witnessed in the line of duty that he burst into tears and almost could not finish his presentation. Among many other intriguing data points, Stone revealed that he had a field manual describing 57 different varieties of extraterrestrial intelligent life now visiting the Earth. Every one of these 57 varieties was human in appearance, with only superficial differences from the way we look here on Earth, if any. Other members of Dr. Greer's entourage reported direct ET interventions that powered down nuclear missile installations or actively disabled missiles that were in flight, rendering them completely non-radioactive once they crashed to the Earth. These and additional witnesses came forward in a major public conference at the National Press Club on September 27, 2010, and were given generous coverage in the mainstream media. The military-industrial complex has been forced to see these power downs as hostile acts. But another equally valid viewpoint is to see that we are being protected from a nuclear holocaust by our long-lost relatives. These visitors may well account for the many reports of angels and gods in a variety of ancient cultures, and we may now be on the threshold of a true family reunion. The Circle Makers. On October 20th, 2009, the UK Telegraph reported a story where a police officer saw three men, each with blonde hair and over 6 feet tall, taking instrument readings near a crop circle. The officer heard a hissing sound similar to static electricity, and this crackling noise seemed to run through the entire field, while also causing the crop to gently move. He shouted at the three men, but they did not seem to be able to hear his voice. However, when he entered the field, they all looked at him and began running. They ran faster than any man I have ever seen. I'm no slouch, but they were moving so fast. I looked away for a second, and when I looked back, they were gone. A similar case was disclosed on March 22, 2009, after the British government officially released many of its UFO files. On November 20, 1989, an anonymous woman called RAF Wadisham in Suffolk to report a strange experience she had while walking her dog. She saw a man wearing a light brown one-piece garment, similar to a flying suit, who had a Scandinavian-type accent. He asked her if she had heard anything about large, flattened circles appearing in wheat fields. During the course of a 10-minute conversation, the man told her he was from another planet that was similar to the Earth, and there were others like him who had traveled to Earth and were making these formations. The visitors were here for a friendly purpose, but they were told not to have contact with humans for fear that they would be considered a threat. Apparently, he never said who told them not to contact us. The woman was completely terrified, and as she ran home, she heard a loud buzzing noise behind her and saw a large spherical object glowing with orange-white light rise straight up from behind some trees. The RAF operator said the woman spoke for about an hour and had no doubt that she was reporting a genuine experience. The Crop Circle Connector website has an archive of every formation that has occurred in England since 1978 and many others around the world as well. For a nominal fee, you can explore this vast resource, and you will be stunned at the number of formations that reveal three-dimensional geometric patterns like the ones we've been discussing. Although some formations are undoubtedly hoaxes, I do feel the circle makers are giving us a variety of symbolic messages in these formations that can help us transition into a golden age. For me, perhaps the single most compelling crop formation appeared on July 15, 2008, at Avebury Manor in Wiltshire. This pattern appeared directly next to the northwest portion of an elaborate series of standing stones, not unlike Stonehenge, that are found in this same area. What we see is a clear, unambiguous illustration of our solar system, with a large flattened circle in the middle for the sun, surrounded by a series of circular rings representing planetary orbits. In each of these rings, a smaller circle gives an exact position for each planet. Andreas Müller and Red Colley both independently analyzed this pattern using astronomy software and concluded that the alignment depicted a particular day in our future, December 21st, 2012. Of course, there is no way to ever know for certain whether a particular formation is real or not. High-quality hoaxes are routinely being done. However, it is quite unlikely that the crop circles described by Agobard some 1,200 years ago were also done by hoaxers. Nor do I think hoaxers were responsible for the crop formations Robert Plot diligently recorded in the 1600s. I went to England in August 2010 to witness this phenomenon myself, and walked through four different formations. The part I found the most intriguing was that each of the formations was written into a hillside, and you could not see the entire formation from any one spot on the ground due to the shape of the land. The patterns were designed to be seen from the air. It appeared that the geometry on the ground had been slightly stretched to make it look right from the sky in some cases. On the ground, it was very difficult to tell what any of these formations actually looked like, and the real ones appear overnight. In July 1996, a complex Juliaset pattern appeared in broad daylight between 5:30 and 6:15 p.m. directly next to Stonehenge and was made of 151 circles. Flies have been found stuck to the crops as if their wings had been melted. Radiation levels 76% above normal have been observed, only to mysteriously disappear soon afterward. The growth nodes on the crop stems often appear to be elongated, consistent with the effects of microwaving, and their cells reveal microscopic pit holes, suggesting they were flash heated in a microsecond. Some plants also have a thin layer of carbon covering them. 90% of crop circles are formed over aquifers, suggesting a technology may be pulling water out of the ground to keep the crops from burning. Electrical equipment often fails inside the formations, and magnetic compasses pick up unusual readings. The rate of time has been observed to change slightly within a crop circle in two different sets of experiments. I also highly recommend Crop Circles, A Beginner's Guide by Hugh Manistre and Crop Circles and Their Message by David Pratt, which has a variety of great photographs in addition to many unique data points. In part one of Pratt's article, we discover that the soil under crop circles is much looser and drier than usual, has an increase in crystallization, and features unusual microscopic spheres of pure iron. In young crops, where the seeds are still forming, the seeds are stunted and do not germinate well, if at all, whereas in mature plants with fully formed seeds, seeds often exhibit a massive increase in vigor and a growth rate up to 5 times that of control seeds. In part two, Pratt reveals that there are many reports of balls, discs, or columns of light that have been seen over the areas where crop circles then appeared. Several dozen people have heard a high-pitched trilling noise before crop circles occurred. Approximately 70 people have witnessed crop circles forming right in front of their eyes. They report that the whole process is very rapid, taking between 10 and 20 seconds, and in some, but not all cases, there appears to be a visible whirlwind in the atmosphere as it happens. One evening in July 1981, Ray Barnes witnessed a wave or line moving through the heads of a cereal crop in Wiltshire. After traveling across the field in an arc, the line dropped to the ground and radially described a 75-foot circle in a clockwise direction in a single sweep in about 4 seconds, accompanied by a hissing noise. The crop went down as neatly as if it had been cut by a giant flan cutter, and the plants showed absolutely no spring back. Getting back to our 2012 crop circle, that appeared on July 15, 2008. The farmer at Avebury was not pleased and tried to destroy it by driving 3 lines through it with his tractor. The circle makers then returned and made a series of modifications, including a second circle that was as big as the original solar system diagram had been, positioned directly next to the original. This second circle was completely hollow on the inside, but it was surrounded by a series of strange, small illustrations. At a conference I spoke at in 2009, Dr. Beverly Rubick pointed out that these little symbols all looked like various types of cell organelles. The large circle could therefore represent a cell membrane, but now there was nothing inside of it. Although no one can be sure of its intended meaning, this symbolism may suggest that some sort of fundamental transformation of biological life might begin to occur after December 21, 2012, akin to the Tibetan legends of the rainbow body. What I found even more interesting was that the circle makers also widened the diameter of the sun in the solar system glyph, all the way out to the orbit of Venus. This implies that December 21, 2012 may represent the tipping point for this profound energetic change that is already occurring in the solar system. Crop circles may also be used as reference points for time travel within the source field. They often appear right near the ancient vortex points and monuments, which may serve as portals for travel through time-space to this very day. By keeping a comprehensive log of what formations were positioned and when, you could quickly scan through a large databank of different points in time. Once you see the formation you are looking for, you can then enter into that point in time. This may dramatically simplify the process of identifying a particular window of time you wish to visit.